It's not a secret that California is in the grip of a crippling drought, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. As we head into the driest months of the year, we are looking at potential mandatory water restrictions. But are there long-term solutions? We look at what's being done to remediate the situation and what ideas might do more harm than good. And did you know that the average person could be swallowing about 5 grams of plastic every week? That's equal to a whole credit card. Microplastics in our water are now microplastics in our bodies. We talk to an expert about what that means when Fox 11 In-Depth starts right now.
California's governor has issued a warning. State residents must cut back on water use or potentially face mandatory restrictions. Meanwhile, water usage actually increased in March as we saw our 3 driest months in at least a century. Let's face it, we're in a bad place right now. Now, the first thing many people think of when they discuss the water shortage is desalination, making fresh water from our abundant seawater. Here to talk to us about this is Mandy Sackett, Surfrider Foundation's California Policy Coordinator. Mandy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know, Mandy, this is almost seems like an issue many people might not know about, that there's this fight over a desalination plant right here in Southern California. It almost seems like a simple issue. You know, we're facing a drought. We need water. Why not just draw from the ocean? But really isn't that simple of an issue, is it?
It's much more complex than that, unfortunately. I wish it weren't the case, but the proposed plant in Huntington Beach was not located in a place where we actually need the water. North Orange County is actually water rich. They have a large groundwater aquifer. It would have been making the water richer, as opposed to places like parts of Ventura County, Los Angeles County, San Bernardino County, which are actually under water restrictions now. That's not the case in Orange County. And so the proposed Huntington Beach desalination plant wouldn't have gotten the water to where it's actually needed.
It seems crazy that we're in a place right now where water is a commodity, right? And it should be something that should be accessible, easily accessible to everyone. But you're saying that if we had this desalination plant, that it could actually increase prices for people that really need it most.
It absolutely would increase prices of water. And in the state of California, we have a commitment to the human right to affordable water. And a desalination plant was constructed in Carlsbad in San Diego County. In 2015, it started operating, and San Diego County is now under a severe water affordability crisis. And it's hitting those who can least afford it the hardest. Absolutely an environmental justice concern.
And what about, speak about the environment, because there were some other concerns, right, about the damage that it potentially could do to the ecosystem and to marine life, let's say, in the ocean.
So the proposed Poseidon Huntington Beach plant was absolutely the wrong design. It would have used open ocean intakes, which suck in and kill marine life. And within a 9.5 mile of source water, it would have been undermining the base of the food chain by sucking in over 100 million gallons of water per day. And all that just to provide under 10% of North Orange County's water supplies. There is technology, desalination technology, that exists today to move the water, ocean water intakes underground. It's called subsurface intake. And that avoids a lot of the marine life impacts. But this plant wouldn't have done that, even though the California law states that's the best design to avoid impacts, and that's the preferred option.
So you actually think that there is a future, a possible future for desalination plants in the future for the state of California? You're not saying that this is not a good idea. This just wasn't the right project in the right area.
Correct. The Surfrider Foundation's position is not against desalination across the board. We just think we need to maximize all of our better alternatives first. And we have so many still in California, and especially in Southern California. We can recycle our wastewater. Right now, we're treating wastewater and then discharging it into the ocean. We could recycle that water and put it into use. We can conserve more. We live in an arid climate. Everybody needs to be in the mindset of conserving water as much as we can. We can also fix leaky pipes, leaky conveyance pipes for the water, and that would save a ton. Gray water, rain barrels, there's so much more we can be doing. Ocean-friendly gardens, increasing the permeable surface so that our groundwaters can recharge. We're just not there yet, especially in Orange County.
You would think that with all the resources that our state has and all the funds, we keep talking about the giant surplus that we have the ability to create the tech, and we have the technology to be able to create something that is able to harness the ocean water or even capture the rainwater that's coming here. I mean, what's the cost of something like a desalination plant like this, or maybe these other types of technologies that we're looking at in the future?
So in Huntington Beach, the proposed desalination plant, that it was denied by the California Coastal Commission just a few weeks ago, so it's not moving forward. But that would have been several times more costly compared to a wastewater recycling plant. The Orange County already has a wastewater recycling plant, but it's going to be expanded in the coming years, and it can be even expanded even more beyond that. And actually, the city of LA and Los Angeles County are working on water recycling projects, as is the city of San Diego. So these efforts are moving forward, and, you know, with some speed. So we can count on that. Really, especially in Orange County, there's not a water reliability issue right now. The water reliability report that the Orange County Water District put out shows plenty of water, plenty of groundwater for decades to come, even with drought. So,
all right. Well, we appreciate your time, and we appreciate the work that the Surfrider Foundation has done. So this project has been shot down, but there certainly is hope that with all that money, as I said, and the technology, that we can create something for the future, to create more water for our area. Mandy, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk to the general manager of the Metropolitan Water District about the water shortage and what they're doing to solve the problem that might seem a little distasteful. The Metropolitan Water District of Southern California is the largest wholesale water agency in the whole country. What you might not know is that most of the water is imported from out of the region. Joining us now is MWD General Manager Adele Haj Khalil to talk more about this. Adele, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Hi, Bob. How are you?
You know, I've been in Southern California for quite some time, probably 20 years, and the time that I've been here, even doing the news, we've always talked about a water crisis, and now there's this water shortage emergency that the MWD is talking about. How bad is it?
I mean, to me, it's serious. We are seeing the worst drought that we've seen in our history, or actually ever, the third year of a drought. And our board of directors at Metropolitan Water District took an action end of last month to create a water conservation mandate that in some areas, in almost one third of our service area on the west side, we required to ask everyone to cut down by 35% their water usage, because the water that we have right now coming to us from Northern California that serves these areas is not gonna be enough to last us for the whole year. So we need to stretch the water that's available, and we need to act now as we move into the summer. So we're asking everyone to cut down their water usage by at least 35%. And that basically is to almost go to one day of watering your turf, your landscaping, to go to one day a week. And we think that would help us stretch the water that we have available to us till the end of the year.
You know, this affects a heck of a lot of our viewers, Adele, because your Metropolitan Water District does serve, what is it, about 6 million customers, right? From anywhere from L.A. County to San Bernardino.
We serve about 20 million, but the biggest impact is on 6 million in our western part of the service area.
Yeah. And so these is this a request? Are you asking people to voluntarily conserve water here? Or is this mandatory? And what would be the penalty? How do you enforce this?
Yeah. So for the rest, for the entire region, we're asking everyone to continue conserving at a 20% reduction. So we're asking the water agencies, the cities, the retailers to work with their customers to cut down the water usage and to activate what we call the shortage plan, which basically is cutting down your irrigation of your landscaping, fixing the leaks, et cetera. So there's a plan each agency will do. But the biggest critical area is 6 million people we have in Ventura area, LA, and Upper San Gabriel, where they have limited access to water that comes only from Northern California. For those, we are mandating, as of June 1st, they have to start cutting by 35%. And that's equivalent to either one day of watering a week of their turf, or we have an allocation that we give them. And if they exceed that water usage, there'll be a penalty of $2,000 an acre foot. Wow. We believe that people will do the right thing, and it's mandated. It's mandated as of June 1st, and they're gonna have an enforcement element that they will submit to us to enforce the compliance. And that's critical for that to comply with the mandate that we put out in our actions at the end of the month.
Well, I definitely have seen it before. You know, you called it the water police or whatever you call it, but people were out there and they were out enforcing. It's happened in the past. We just hope people try to at least do their part, right? Let's talk about something else that our viewers are concerned about. Adele, there are people a little queasy about the water suppliers and the sanitation district joining forces, as it were. How do you overcome the toilet-to-tap stigma?
The yuck factor. I call it showers to flowers. So really what you have is the climate change is here. We are seeing reduced snowpack. Actually, it's disappearing. In Northern California and the Rockies, in the Sierra of the Rockies, what we used to rely on for the last 100 years is a snowpack that would melt slowly and come in the summertime as flow in our rivers and waterways, and we will use it. That's not happening. We don't have the luxury of the storage in the snowpack. I mean, the snowpack in December in Sierra was about 160% of normal, and in April is down to 30% of normal. And even with that, we don't see the runoff. That's basically the snow is evaporating and it's not making it to us. So we need to find new water sources.
So tell us about this recycling plan. How does it work?
So the technology is there. It's being used across the world. In Orange County, we've used it to treat wastewater, purify it, to almost drinking water levels, purified. And then it's brought in and put into the ground for reuse, for us to pull it out and goes into our groundwater basins for use. So we have filters, we have technology, we have UV, we have ozonation, the best technology in the world to make that water, pure water that we can put in the ground and then pick it up through our extraction walls and get it into our treatment plants for treatment and for drinking. This is the future. It's being used in Singapore and other places. It's being used in Orange County. It's available to us, and we need to really get away from the stigma, the yuck factor. This is the future, and we need to recycle and reuse every drop of water, because water is not going to be there for us unless we reuse every drop.
We have just a little time left, but you're talking about the future. What really is the future here? Because now we have everybody cutting back 35%, perhaps in the future, maybe even more. Now we've got our, what some might call a yucky recycling plant. I think it's fine, but what is the future? How does it look for us, or is it grim, or can we at least alleviate the crisis here?
I'm optimistic, first of all, of Southern California is doing the right thing in conservation, but that's a short term. What we are doing in Metropolitan as being the water agency provider, we are planning for the future as part of a watershed, one water. So we're going to recycle every drop. We're going to capture rain. we're going to remediate and store water when we have it. We're going to have rain coming heavy at both the Colorado and the Sacramento River. We're going to capture it and store it. Locally here, we're going to capture stormwater and put it in the ground. We got treat recycled water. We're going to conserve. To me, it's doing all of the above to create what I call the one water area of management of water, so we can diversify our portfolio and move water around to meet the needs.
Let's just hope for the rain like we always do and conserve and save every drop. We appreciate your time, Adele.
Sure. And thank you for everyone. And let's do the right thing. Let's conserve today for tomorrow. Thank you.
Adele, thank you very much. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we're increasingly seeing another hazard in our potable water supply. No, it's not sewage. We're talking plastic here. Tiny microscopic bits of plastic are being found not only in our water supply, but already in our bodies. We talk about that right after the break. Just recently, Dutch researchers found microplastics in human blood for the first time. Those are extremely small pieces of plastic created by the breakdown of consumer products and industrial waste. The researchers found them in almost 80% of the people tested. Joining us to talk about that is Emily Parker, a water quality scientist with Heal the Bay. Emily, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on.
Gosh, tell us about these microplastics. I mean, we had teased it before that people could be consuming as much as a credit card volume worth of microplastics a week. Is that true?
It's more or less true. What we're really looking at there with that number is by the weight. And so it's about 5 grams of plastic, which more or less makes up a credit card. And where that plastic is coming from is two different sources. That plastic could potentially be coming from the food that we are eating, whether that is leaching off of the actual foodware or the bottles or the forks or utensils or what have you that we are using, or it could be coming directly from the actual food that we are eating. For example, if you're eating animal-based products and that animal has plastic in their system. So yes, we are ingesting an enormous amount of plastic, and we don't fully understand what that's doing to our bodies.
Okay, it can't be good. I mean, plastic in your bodies, it can't be good. Has there been any research done as to what impact it could have to our bodies?
There has been some preliminary research looking at what microplastics could be doing to our bodies, both on humans and on animals. And what we do know is that there are toxins in chemicals that are known endocrine disruptors, meaning they can mess with our hormone systems. They can also cause birth defects and are even known carcinogens. And in studies on animals, we're even seeing possible oxidative impacts or even inflammatory impacts. So we know that this stuff impacts our bodies, impacts could be.
And so if, let's say, from a personal perspective, are there things that we can do to try and avoid these microplastics? Let's say if I know that it's going to be in tap water, can I just start drinking bottled water? And will bottled water help prevent me from getting more of these microplastics in my system?
Well, if the bottle is plastic, not so much. Studies actually show that microplastics are in bottled water as well. I know, it's really frustrating. But because those bottles are made of plastic, like I mentioned earlier, they can actually be leaching microplastic particles right into that water. So your best bet is to be drinking probably tap water if you can, but not everybody has access. So what I like to recommend to folks is to stay away from single-use plastic where you can, but that can be really difficult, especially in a day and age where pretty much all of our food, all of our beverages are coming in single-use plastics. So the other thing that I tell people to do is you can not only vote with your dollar, but you can also actually vote with your vote. And you can use your voter power, your legislative power to influence laws and legislation that reduce plastic from the source. So what we can do is pass policies that require companies that are using plastic right now to switch to more sustainable options, like reusable options, refillable options, or something not made of plastic. That way, we as consumers have the opportunity to access our food and our water in containers that don't contain plastic.
You know, I know Heal the Bay works a lot with conservation issues and healing the bay. The cleanup issues are always part of the DNA of Heal the Bay. So what can be done now? I mean, we've gone to, let's say, you know, banning certain plastics and things like that. There have been laws that have been put in place. Is it too late to really act on this? Is that stuff already in the water? Or what else can be done to try and clean up, let's say, our water supply and our food sources?
It is absolutely not too late to act. There is still plenty of time for us to be able to curb our use and disposal of plastics and be able to reduce the impact not only on our environment, but also on people. We can pass comprehensive legislative packages that reduce the amount of plastic that we're using directly from the source. What we need to do is put the onus on the producers of these plastics to take responsibility for the end of life of that plastic and to take responsibility for transitioning away from harmful materials to more sustainable options. So it's absolutely not too late. And if we give the oceans, our water, and our environment the opportunity to recover, they can recover. We just have to stop sending all this plastic out into the environment to begin with. I like to tell people that if you had a bathtub that was overflowing with water, your first thing wouldn't be to grab a mop to clean it all up, mm-hmm. right? You would turn off the tap. So that's what we need to do. We need to turn off the tap of the plastic that's flowing into our environment. And yes, we do have plenty of time to do it, but we need to act soon.
It seems so overwhelming when you think about it and all the stuff that's in our oceans, but it really starts with all of us, right? With each and every individual. And Heal the Bay, Emily Parker, we appreciate what you do. I know you do beach cleanups and things like that. There are these small little steps that really can really help our environment. Emily Parker, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and we'll be back with more on Fox 11 News in depth right after this. For an audio version of our show, check out the podcast, What the Howl, wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehowlpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. And we leave you with something you may not have seen for a while. Enjoy.